Hey everybody, it's so good to see you this morning. So glad you could join us online. Listen, I would ask you to do me a favor. I know Pastor Jared mentioned that earlier, but if you could get on your phone for just a second and text the word HERE, H-E-R-E, to 817-677-9700. We really would love to know who's out there and who watched this morning. And so if you'd do that, I would really appreciate it. Also appreciate all of those who've hit share and you're on the hosting a watch party. This message is going out really all over the country and all over the world. And so we welcome you who are not here at Connect Church but are joining us this morning. So we're so glad that you're here, especially on this particular Sunday morning, which we celebrate as Palm Sunday. Now, I remember, as you can, when I was a kid, they would have this thing called the Lord's Supper. And every time they had it, I never fully understood it. I just knew that when they came by, they brought these very dry crackers or wafers, followed with a really tiny cup that never washed the cracker all the way down. And I never really understood it until years and years later what the real and true meaning of the Lord's Supper or the Table of Mercy or the Communion or Eucharist, whatever it is you prefer to call it, meant. I think it really got hammered home a few years ago when I had the chance for the very first time to go to Israel. And walking those streets of Israel and walking the streets of Jerusalem, standing on the Mount of Olives and walking down that narrow path down to the Garden of Gethsemane, looking up at the East Gate. And there we had a worship service in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we talked about Jesus' sacrifice and what he actually did for us so that we might have freedom. And as he walked down that narrow path, the people were hoping for something that Jesus wasn't going to provide for them. He wasn't going to be the kind of king, the conquering king, that they thought that he was going to be. In fact, he was about ready to sacrifice his life so that you and I can have eternal life. But I think about the Lord's Supper, and I wonder what you actually know about the Table of Mercy, the Lord's Supper. What you really understand about that Passover meal that when Jesus came off the mount and back up the hill to the house where they celebrated the Lord's Supper with his disciples, if you truly know what that means. And I want to take us back on a journey and allow us to catch a new perspective on an old practice, a new perspective on an old practice. So if you have your Bibles with you, and I hope you do there at home, if you would open them to Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 14, or open your Bible apps to that same passage of Scripture, Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. As I was preparing for today's message, and as we get ready to celebrate the Lord's Supper, I couldn't help but see some similarities with what was going on then in the lives of the children of Israel and what is happening now. You remember the story, if you ever attended any VBS, you heard the stories of the 10 plagues and the deliverance of the Israelites from the Egyptians. And you know that God brought Moses and Aaron as his spokesperson, and they began to talk to Pharaoh, and they said, "Let my people go." And over again, despite the previous nine plagues, Pharaoh always came up with a reason not to let them go. But then when we pick it up and really in chapter 12, and I want us to read just a few of these verses. We're actually going to go through this. We see that this practice of the Lord's Supper was established a long, long time ago. It was established a long time ago, and it was intended to be practiced until we have literally the Lord's Supper. We celebrate that supper with him when he returns. When we look at verses 1 through 2, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month is to be the beginning of months for you. It is the first month of your year." Things changed. And what I want you to consider this morning, prior to taking of the elements of the Lord's Supper, I want you to consider the circumstances. I want you to consider your circumstances. Here we see that God change things in the lives of his children. He said, hey, there is a change, and starting today, this is your month. This is your month. This is a new beginning where everything else will begin and end with this time of celebration. He says, this month is to be a beginning of months for you. It is the first month of your year. Now, it's very important for us to understand. Prior to the deliverance of the children of Israel, they had been in this area for 430 years. 430 years, 30 of which were great, as Joseph was there and had been promoted to be the right-hand man of the king. And then we see that things changed, and the king, the new king, got power. He decided he could use them as labor, and then they became indentured slaves, and then they worked really for nothing, fulfilling his bidding, the enemy king. Now, it's very interesting as well that for that 400 years, we see that the children of Israel cried out over and over and over to God, but there was silence for 400 years. Now, I suggest to you this morning, looking at our current situation as we go together through COVID-19, that there's some similarities here. The reason that they had been in place, had been sheltered in place, and practicing this distance from God is because they had been practicing spiritual distance from God. They had turned away from what God had called them to do, and as a result, there was a silence and there was a distance between them and God. But God eventually heard their cry, and he sent Moses and Aaron to deliver them. I want you to understand that before you take of the Lord's Supper, you have to first consider your circumstances. Here's the question I would ask you this morning. Are you happy where you're at? Has the emptiness in your soul been filled by God? Or are you saying, I really wish I could make a change? I wish things could be different. Well, I want to tell you, because of what we're celebrating this morning, things can be different. But you must first consider your circumstances. You cannot stay where you are and continue to do the things that you are doing and go with God. God has a plan to deliver us out of the bondage of sin and take us to a place and give us a change that we have never experienced. Have you experienced that? Are you tired of doing the same old thing, feeling the same old dryness of your heart and your soul, and wondering there's got to be more? Friends, let me tell you, this Passover Sunday, there is more. There is so much more in Jesus Christ. Then we see in verses 3 through 6, he says, tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, they must each select an animal of the flock according to their father's household, one animal per household. If the household is too small for a whole animal, that person and the neighbor nearest his house are to select one based on the combined number of people. They were to look out for one another. They were to have just enough, not hoarding or doing those kinds of things. They should have based on the combined number of the people. You should apportion the animal according to what each person will eat. Now here's the key in verse number 5. You must have an unblemished animal. A year-old male. You may take it from either the sheep or the goats. Now, why is that important? We have to be careful to consider our consequences, our situation, but we have to understand that our choices make a difference. Our choices make a difference, and we need to contemplate our choices. So many of us decide that we're going to try to fill this emptiness with our ways or with the world's way. We think if we can just have more relationships, if we can just in our minds get it right, if we can just watch enough do-it-yourself videos for our emotions and our spiritual nature, that somehow that's going to get it. But most of you all should know that only Jesus Christ can do what you can't do yourself. You can't have a relationship with Christ and do it yourself. It took Jesus coming down the mountain, up the hill, modeling what it meant to be the unblemished lamb. There is only one unblemished lamb that will matter and that will count, and that is Jesus Christ. He says you are to have an unblemished animal, and then you are to come together at twilight and slaughter the animals. See, we have to think about our choices. Oftentimes we make our choices and then we want God to rescue us from the choices. See, that we need to make the right choices on the front end so that we can experience the circumstances that we deep down inside really want. And that is to be in a right relationship with our Savior. Everything else is flawed. You can pursue everything. You can pursue everyone. But if you don't pursue the unblemished Lamb of God, you will never know the true effect of the Passover. It doesn't end there, though. He begins to establish this old practice that for them it was a new practice. And he says in verses 7 through 11, basically you must complete all the commands. Listen to what he says. You must take some of the blood and put it on the doorpost. And the lintel. If you don't know what the lintel is, it's the supporting beam above the doorpost. You're to put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel where you're going to eat them. They are going to eat the meat that night. They should eat it roasted over the fire along with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or cooked in boiling water, but only roasted over fire. Its head as well as its legs and inner organs. Now let me stop right there and explain just a little bit about that. The reason, because I really was kind of asking myself, why not get rid of all that stuff? But that's where the fat is. And the reason that it was burnt is because God did not want them to even mimic in any way, shape, or form the way of the pagans. You see, they would take back in the day, and they would take those entrails, the pagans would, and they would do soothsaying and future reading and all of that stuff. And God didn't want anything to resemble anything of the world. Can I just tell you this morning, there is nothing in Jesus Christ that resembles the world. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to me but by the Father. And he goes on to say about all these practices, he says, don't let any of it remain until morning. You must burn up any part of it that does not remain until morning. Here's how you must eat it. You must be dressed for travel, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you are to eat in a hurry. It is the Lord's Passover. And we know the story. Moses, God spoke to Moses, and Moses spoke to the elders of Israel, and he said, you go and find this perfect lamb. You slaughter it. You take its blood, and you take it over the doorpost, or on the doorpost, and over the lintel, and then you consume this animal, and you have to sacrifice the lamb. Now, I want you already to be thinking about the New Testament. You remember when John saw Jesus, he says, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins, which causes